Good morning and welcome to Mountain Money. This is Larry Warren along with my co-host Doug Wells, headed to a high of 54 today. And as you heard Drew Hardesty in the Avalanche report an hour ago, it sounds like some snow, 5-6 inches perhaps up high midweek. So should be pretty good. So this is Mountain Money. This is how we start our public affairs week on Monday mornings. And our first guest, Doug, is Kathy Reakey. And Kathy is the executive director of the Utah Micro Enterprise Loan Fund and is talking about a new program, continuing program called the GE Capital Women in Banking Program. And I know, Kathy, it's Reakey. You have been on before talking about the Micro Enterprise Loan Fund. So Kathy will be our first guest.
Yeah, and the whole micro loan area is getting to be very hot and very popular in the country. So I'm going to be interested to see what GE is doing in that space. Our second guest is going to be Judy Durbera. She is the local marketing director of Freebirds World Burritos. And if that sounds like a burrito chain that was started by a bunch of hippies out in California, you would be 100% right. And they've grown it from a few locations in California to almost 100. So we're going to talk to Judy about Freebirds, see what we have to look forward to out of Kimball Junction out there. And then our final guests are going to be Donna Milakovic. She's a VP at Utah Valley Chamber of Commerce. And we're also going to have a high school student, Jennifer Stone, who is the founder of Fandancy. Donna is one of the judges, one of the supporters of the Young Entrepreneur Academy, and Jennifer is one of the winners there. So we're going to hear what they're doing to foster entrepreneurship here in Utah. You're listening to Mountain Money, and we'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
This is Craig McCarthy with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Do you know that members of the Park City Chamber Bureau have access to a wide array of benefits that give them an edge in the local marketplace? We offer members-only insurance and discount programs, business-to-business networking opportunities, and much more. Becoming a member of the Park City Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business. Information on joining is online at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit organization.
This is Ryan Hoffman, branch manager at Mountain West Bank.
And Brooks Harbertson, commercial lender, sponsor of Mountain Money on KPCW.
We offer several products and services for individuals and businesses, including deposit and loan solutions.
Mountain West Bank, Kearns Boulevard, next to the theater, 649-3369.
Division of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And welcome back to Mountain Money. This is Larry Warren along with Doug Wells. And we have on the line with us Kathy Reakey. Now, welcome, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, our pleasure. We've had you on before talking about the Utah Micro Enterprise Loan Fund, and we will talk about that. But today we'll talk about it in conjunction with the GE Capital Women in Banking Program, which is a spin on it, which leads to perhaps a micro enterprise loan down the road after some training. So tell us about the GE Capital Women in Banking Program and how maybe some of our listeners could get involved.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me. We put this together about 3 years ago, and we're actually starting our seventh class next month. Banking on Women is a program that provides women entrepreneurs with training, mentoring, and microloans to help their businesses. It's actually a 15-week long entrepreneurial class training. It's taught one night a week for 15 weeks, and they go through everything that's involved with the operation of a business. It's not necessarily a business plan writing course. It's more really getting into the nuts and bolts and nitty-gritty of the different things, you know, anywhere from marketing and social media to financial forecasting. And we do it as a class that only 15 people are selected to be involved with, and so it's not necessarily open to the general public. In this last round, we had over 50 applications, and we select 15 women who are either in the very beginning startup phases, just getting their business running, or maybe they've been down the road for 2 or 3 years. And we find that for the brand new businesses, there is a lot to be learned by the women who've been in business for a few years. And we find that for those women, the new people really kind of reinvigorate them with the excitement and spirit of entrepreneurship again to get everybody excited about what they're doing with their business.
Kathy, give us an idea of what type of businesses these women are starting.
Wow, it is all over the place. We've had women who are in the food product service. We've got one that did quite well. She has a gluten-free Brazilian cheese roll. We've had restaurants. We've had a manufacturer of cute little fashion coats for cameras, of all things. We've had one that designs wedding gowns. We've had a person who designs workout wear for women, janitorial companies, a Japanese food truck, a soap and body care company, a Japanese daycare, an attorney. You can see that it's all across the board.
So these are the types of business. You know, starting a business is hard, and we've all heard that
right.
The vast majority of new businesses, unfortunately, don't make it. As high as 80% fail. Have you guys been tracking the history of your companies, and how has the success rate been for them?
Actually, so far, so great. We have put 78 women through the program so far, and of those that were just brand new and newly launching at the time they came into the class or had already been in business, over 70% are still in operation. So it's actually done quite well. And in addition to the classwork, the ladies are enabled to get one-on-one coaching, an hour of expertise with social media experts. And then the unique part with GE Capital Bank is that they provide mentors to each of the ladies. And so they have somebody there as a person for feedback and giving them insight. And at the very least, you know, an opinion from a consumer standpoint.
Well, this is probably going to sound like a dumb question, Kathy, but why is the Banking on Women program just for women? Why isn't banking for small business?
Okay, actually, the Banking on Women program with GE Capital for years has been an international program where they've helped, very, very poor and in need populations in other countries in the world. And this was created as a pilot in the United States. And so they actually came to us. We're the pilot here in Salt Lake City, and they came to us and said, you know, we do things all over the world, but we don't do anything in the United States. And we'd like to continue that spirit of helping women who are in need and have a great potential. Excuse me. And so it is a continuation of their existing Banking on Women program worldwide.
So, Kathy, why you grab a quick drink of water there to clear your throat out. You know, Larry, it's a good question, and one of the things that I've seen, and Kathy, you just mentioned, is in some of these developing countries, they've really found a difference to giving money to women versus giving money to men to start a business. In particular, the impact on the family and getting resources to the kids and helping out the next generation. And it's kind of bizarre. At first, I wasn't sure I believed it, but study after study has shown it. It's very popular. It's an incredibly effective way to help people that don't have the advantages we have in the U.S. I'm curious why GE Capital decided to do this in the U.S. because there are so many more resources and opportunities in the U.S. versus in the foreign countries?
Honestly, I don't know their exact motivation, just because I'm in partnership with them, and so I don't know exactly what their reasons are, other than I think that they've recognized, and I applaud them for this, that there is plenty of need here in our own backyard. It is not easy to start a business, as you were saying, and that added technical assistance can make a huge difference on the success rate. And then we find that each group that we've put through has said, you know, the education was invaluable and something that they needed terribly, but probably the thing that comes out of it for them of even more value is they end the course with 14 new best friends who can support them in the business aspects of their lives. And we even, as we bring them in the beginning, we tell them this is an environment where you're safe to talk about your business and your fears and your joys, and you may have people in your home that are really tired of hearing about your business. And so it creates a wonderful support network for them.
Okay, so they go through this program, and they qualify in the end. Do they all qualify for a loan from the Microenterprise Loan Fund? And what is that program? How much money is available?
Okay, thank you for asking. I think that one of the most valuable pieces of going through a technical training course like this is to figure out if you even need a loan, and if you do, how much of a loan. So we don't do it with the goal of making everybody qualify for a loan, because when you're going through that business plan process, you may find that you need it or you don't need it, or maybe you don't need it right away. But I will say, for those that we have made loans, it's been a lot easier decision because we're so familiar with them. We've been working with them for 15 weeks. And so we make loans of up to $25,000 for people who are starting a business or are growing a business that cannot qualify for a traditional bank or credit union loan. And so a lot of our clients are brand new startups. A lot of them are people who may not have enough collateral for a traditional loan, oftentimes service or retail businesses. And the third aspect is a lot of people have had some life event, like a divorce or a medical problem, that has had a negative impact on their credit score. And while we look at that, we don't make our decisions based on a credit score. We ask for the circumstances behind it.
And Kathy, this morning we're really talking about your venture with GE Capital.
Right.
But the Utah Micro Enterprise Loan Fund is a separate entity.
That's right.
As well. And so are there loans available to males in the audience that are interested in?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Through our loan fund, you know, when people ask me, what do you have to do to qualify? Number one, you have to not be able to get a loan from a bank or a credit union. And then the other thing that we rely most heavily on, and, you know, tying back into the class, is a business plan. And we like to see that our applicants have really done their homework, gone through the process of figuring out who are they selling to, how are they going to draw those customers in and persuade them to purchase, and how much money needs to be coming in and out of the business each month to not run out of cash and stay viable. And so certainly anyone, and particularly up there in Summit County, we'd love to do more, is able to apply at any time.
Okay. And, you know, unfortunately, you can't help everybody. And you mentioned that one of the criteria for approaching your group is you have to have been, you know, you're not eligible for an SBA loan. For the
Correct.
Folks that you cannot help, do you have other resources that you point them to? And I think it would be helpful to share that on the air for our audience if you do.
Sure. If when you say cannot help in that they're not ready for a loan, there are a lot of great resources out there that we send them to. One is the Women's Business Center that is housed within the Salt Lake Area Chamber of Commerce. Another great resource is called the Small Business Development Center, and they have offices throughout the state. They're funded partially by the SBA and the state and generally institutions of higher education. They provide free counseling with respect to your small business, whether it's starting up or you're existing and you have a particular issue or opportunity to pursue. There's a group called the Pete Suazo Business Center that is specifically for Spanish speakers. And there is a group called SCORE that is part of the SBA that is retired executives. And if you can sit down with somebody who's been in your industry, that is incredibly valuable.
I'm glad you mentioned SCORE because I've heard really good things. The other institutions are ones that are good to know about. I personally haven't run across them before, but I have heard of SCORE. It's just some
right.
amazing people volunteer to help out in that group. It's an
right.
incredible resource.
And all of the groups I just mentioned provide counseling at no charge. So it's a great resource for our small business community.
You know, just to put a face on the Utah Micro Enterprise Loan Fund, there's he's kind of your rock star, Jorge Fierro.
Right.
Started with a micro enterprise loan from your group long ago. And I know the story of Jorge's business, which is Rico, which you
right.
now see in grocery stores in the refrigerator case. Mexican food done really well, high quality Mexican food. And the story he told was he was an attorney in Mexico, decided to emigrate to the U.S. bought a can of refried beans at the grocery store and spit them out. They were so horrible. They offended his taste buds. And from that experience and help from Micro Enterprise Loan Fund, he's built Rico into a powerhouse of fresh Mexican food. Talk
right.
more about that story.
Yeah, well, that was back when we could only make loans of up to $10,000. We were his only source of financing. You know, as you mentioned, he started out selling freshly cooked pinto beans at the farmer's market in downtown Salt Lake and giving out recipe cards of how what you could do and how, all the great things you could make with freshly cooked pinto beans. And as you just described, he has grown now to be, he did over $3.5 million in sales last year. He's got 80 employees. In addition to all of his Rico's products that are in the grocery stores, he's opened a high upscale Mexican gourmet restaurant called Frida Bistro, and he's starting to distribute in states other than Utah. So it's really been a wonderful success story.
And there have to be a hundred more, several hundred more at this point.
Yeah,
what's another
yeah.
interesting one?
Well, another great one that came out of Banking on Women is a company called Cucina Venina, and it's a southern Italian restaurant that is on Fort Union Boulevard. And she came into the program saying she's from Italy. Her family owns an orchard of olive trees, and they bottle their own olive oil. And she wanted to just be a lunchtime deli, and now she's got standing room only on the weekends. And she's just done so well and had phenomenal success with her restaurant. Another person that we helped through the Banking on Women program was Marianne Alston, who runs the Wasatch Front Farmers Market. And as you know, the downtown farmers market has been really popular for many years. And so now she runs the one at Wheeler Farm and Gardner Village, and really took a lot of those business pieces of information and applied them to her situation and is doing very, very well. She's opened a winter market as well. Another micro-enterprise loan fund client is called Mika Rose, and she designs very beautiful but modest and tasteful ladies' wear. We gave her a loan to start her off in the Costco stores for what is called a weekend roadshow, where you just get to go in the weekend and kind of see how attractive your product is. And she now is a regular in Costco and is one of the highest-selling stores in the University Mall in Utah County. And that was just our loan maximum is $25,000, and that was a $25,000 loan. That got her to grow to that rate, and she's probably doing just under $1 million in sales right now.
Wow, excellent. So you said about, 70 or 75% of your loans of your businesses that start are successful. That other 25%, the failure rate, are you able to keep this fund sustainable, or do you always need a new infusion from donors?
Well, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and so we cover about half of our expenses through our fee and interest income, but we are not self-sustaining, a lot because of the nature of who we lend to. And it is it's a risky population, but not necessarily just because of the situations. We calculate that a quarter to a third of our loans that don't pay off are due to health issues that could never have been anticipated in the beginning of the loan. And a lot of people discontinue businesses for a lot of different reasons. It doesn't necessarily mean it was a failed business if they made the decision to no longer have it in operation.
Yeah.
In every situation, there's a big learning curve. And we feel like, again, going back to Banking on Women, the more that you can get that technical assistance to help you with the actual management and operation of a business, your chances of success will just go up.
Yeah, it's a really tough route. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, it'd be great to be free of a boss and have flexibility.
Yeah.
The reality is you're probably never going to work harder for less money.
That's
at least
right.
For a period of time.
That's
when
right.
When you start a company, which brings me to my next question. You counsel a lot of would-be entrepreneurs. What do you tell them? How do you help them think about whether entrepreneurship is the right path for them or not?
Well, from a business standpoint, we always are encouraging people to write business plans and put it together to see, is this really going to work? Is it viable? Does a person really understand how much they're going to need to sell and bring in to make it successful and viable? But even a step before that, as you were just saying, if it's the path for them, there are a lot of sort of survey instruments that you can find even out there on the internet that talk about the characteristics of a successful entrepreneur. And they include things like, you know, willing to take a risk, willing to be able to make decisions, willing ability to be independent and work on your own and stay motivated even through the tough times. So there's a lot of things out there. And in fact, there's a book called The E-Myth Revisited that it's the very first thing we do in our Banking on Women class is have our participants read that, because it talks about the realities of, you know, how demanding it can be to start and run a business, and the realities of having to at some point learn to delegate and to really build it to a business past just one person. So it's not easy. You're right. They're very brave people, I think.
Yeah, and it's not for everybody. I want to go back to the GE Capital. My understanding is this is the only, from your previous comment, this is the only state that GE Capital is doing this micro loan.
Banking on women.
Specifically banking on women. Do you know,
right,
is there a plan for them to roll this out nationwide if this works? Or is this kind of
I know that was their initial plan. And we are in the third year, and it's gone very, very well. We've had great success. And so I do think in the long run they are planning to roll it out into other states. I just don't know which ones and how soon.
And
another important piece another member partner in this organization is Westminster College. And so we're also able to tap into their resources as an additional place to get information for the participants.
Okay. And just to let folks know, I think one of the reasons that Utah might be their pilot state. First, we're a very entrepreneurial state, which I think makes it a little bit easier. But doesn't GE Capital, isn't officially the corporate headquarters here in Utah? Or
that's
they've got
right.
a banking group that's here?
Right. They actually have two banks under the umbrella of GE Capital. One is called GE Capital Financial Bank, and the other is called GE Capital Retail Bank. And they're considered sister banks. But yes, you're absolutely right. Their world headquarters is here. And that is why they rolled it out initially here in Salt Lake.
Yeah, and people don't think about this often, but, you know, the decisions our legislature makes is really important. And one of the reasons I understand that GE Capital and their banking division is based here is because our legislatures did come up with very friendly rules for a bank to be based here, in part to get companies like GE Capital here.
That's exactly right, and particularly for what are called industrial banks, of which GE Capital is one. And that is also why you see Morgan Stanley here, Merrick Bank, Medallion Bank, Ally Bank. All of those banks are headquartered here because of those, as you said, friendly regulations. And it's of great help to the Utah's nonprofit community. I want to just let you know that we are all very lucky to have those banks here, because Utah is an important area for them to reinvest their resources into, and many, many nonprofits in Utah are beneficiaries of that. So they're very appreciated.
Okay, Kathy, Ricky, thanks for joining us. Just quickly,
thank you.
If you're interested, if one of our listeners is interested in applying for a future program, your
Yes.
spring class is already closed, but you'll be
right.
starting up again in the fall. So how do they Google around and find you?
That's right. We're starting a new class in the fall. The application deadline is August 11th. And if they just Google Banking on Women or Banking on Women and GE Capital, the application page should come up, and they can go ahead and apply now. And they'll be kind of held in an archive until we start looking at them come July.
Okay, thanks very much for joining us.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Now, here's something interesting and potentially very useful for your family. Tomorrow night, Dr. Mark Hyman is appearing at the Jim Sandy Auditorium. We at KPCW are proud to be one of the co-sponsors of the appearance tomorrow night of Dr. Hyman. He's famous, of course, as the author of The Blood Sugar Solution. I looked on the New York Times list yesterday, and he has the number one nonfiction book at the moment.
Wow.
He's written three or four of these New York Times bestsellers, and the program will start at 6:30 tomorrow evening with a screening of the Sundance documentary Fed Up, and that will be followed immediately by a presentation and Q&A with Dr. Hyman. You know, Doug, you may also remember him if you dial around on PBS public television stations. He has a lecture he gives there.
His name's very familiar.
They usually build it around fundraising evenings on PBS stations. So the co-sponsors are the Jewish Family Services, the Christian Center of Park City, the People's Health Clinic, and KPCW. Again, it's tomorrow evening at 6:30 at the Jim Santee Auditorium. Of course, that's in the Learning Center and where the library is at 1255 Park Ave. It starts at 6:30. I'd get there a little early. I think a lot of people are going to turn out to hear Dr. Hyman. And forecast for today, mostly sunny. Pretty much all sunny, I'd say, with a high of 54. Good spring corn out there on the slopes.
It's of the same. It was good corn skiing this weekend.
It was nice, mushy moguls.
It was very nice.
Very forgiving moguls, and it's a lot of fun out
there. We're gonna take a quick break, but stay tuned. Our next guest is going to be Judy Durbera. She is the local marketing director of Freebirds World Burritos. We'll be back in a moment to chat with her. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Steve Roney with Prudential Utah Real Estate, a proud supporter of KPCW. With more than 100 sales associates and 14 gallery or ski-in offices in Park City, Prudential Utah can help you with your residential or commercial real estate needs. More information at pru-utah.com or with the Prudential Utah mobile search app.
This Green Earth asks, 55 degrees in February?
TV as population control?
Clean air in the Salt Lake Valley?
Are these questions on your mind, too?
All of this and more explained on This Green Earth.
Tune in Tuesdays at 9 a.m.
Brought to you by Jones Waldo Holbrook and McDonough,
Republic Services,
Vail Resorts,
Habitat for Humanity's Restore,
and Rocky Mountain Power.
Welcome back to Mound Money. In studio with us now is Judy Durbera. You've probably noticed there is a new restaurant out at Kimball Junction. It's called Freebirds World Burritos. When I first saw that, I thought that sounds like a group of hippies from California. Did a little bit of research in preparation for our visit today. And in fact, that's exactly how it started, but very successful, about 100 stores nationwide. So, Judy, thank you for joining us at Mountain Money, and give us a little more background on Freebird.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for asking me. Freebirds did indeed start with two hippies in 1987. They were surfers, and they used to take their burritos to the beach and feed their friends, and they were so popular that they said, you should open a restaurant. A few years later, they separated. One moved to Texas, to College Station, and they made probably 7 or 8 different locations there. In 2007, Tavistock, the parent company, purchased those locations, and now they've grown to over 100 restaurants.
So, you know, we have our own beaches here. They don't have oceans, but they're, you know, we like to go at the base of the ski resort on sunny days like today at 2 o'clock and just kind of hang out there. I'm guessing no delivery, though, to the ski resorts yet from Freebirds.
We'll deliver just about anywhere.
Really?
Yes.
You do deliver. I was just kidding.
We do have catering, and we do deliver. We have call aheads, faxes. Any way we can get the food to you, we'll do it.
Okay, so what's in a Freebird burrito?
We have, first of all, 3 different sizes. We don't believe that one burrito fits all. So we have 3 different sizes, 5 different tortillas, 5 meats, 41 things on our roll. We call it a roll where we put all the extras. We make burritos from a hybrid up to a monster. We also have bowls and tacos,
so
nachos.
And it's all fresh ingredients? You chop everything up
My word, we have no freezers. We have no freezers in our restaurant, so everything is fresh. And we make things every day, several times a day for them.
Okay. Now, are there other stores in Utah or plans for other stores?
Yes. We're only the second franchisee that the corporation has led, and we will have 10 locations. We have one down in the valley in West Valley and one in Taylorsville. This is our third in Park City. We'll have three more before summer.
And this franchisee here in Utah, that's Mark McKay and Chris Beck McKay?
Yes.
Okay. Are they Utah natives?
They are.
Okay. Okay. And so that's how they decided they wanted to choose Utah as a state for
their
stores?
Yes. This isn't their first food venture. So they looked for something different, and Freebirds is indeed different.
Well, and you in the studio, our audience can't see, but you've got your big peace symbol there and some buttons, and so I'm gathering
that. And some burritos, which we haven't had a chance to dig into.
Which smell delicious. I'm guessing that's the motif.
It is. We have pot brownies on our menu. They're totally legal and addicting.
Only in Colorado they're legal, or here in Utah?
We don't have
as well.
A Freebirds in Colorado yet, okay. But we'll see about that. They did used to have pot in their brownies. The hippies did, so that's why they were such a success.
So I heard. These are pot-free pot.
They
brownies.
Are. Okay. They are. We serve them in a pot here.
Okay. I get it. Okay. All right. How did you, what was the selection process that led Freebirds to Kimball Junction?
Well, it's a different area than Salt Lake City, a different clientele. It's a big tourist area up here. Everybody loves to ski in Utah. If you don't ski, you're crazy. The Olympics were here, and it just seemed like the ideal place to bring our burrito store.
And where do we find it at Kimball Junction?
We are on Ute Avenue, behind the Smiths.
Over by their gas pumps?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Very good. Now, so there really are every burrito is custom. You put in what they ask for.
That's
what
correct.
Kind of price points?
We're regular. We're regular. We're a little bit lower actually than some of the other burrito restaurants in town.
Okay.
But we do. We not only feed the belly at Freebirds, we feed the soul too. And so we do something that's different. We like to support two local charities up here in Park City. We just Saturday had a fundraiser for Canines with a Cause.
Right.
And okay. On the 10th of April, we're going to do the 1033 Foundation.
Which is for the families of fallen police officers.
Correct. That's correct.
Very good. So what does a fundraiser look like, and why'd you pick these two charities?
They're local. We love what they do. And I think most people love dogs, and they love veterans.
You hit the nail on the head here in Park City.
Yeah.
Are you from Park City?
I'm not.
Okay. And so are you driving up? You're also the marketing manager for the location down in, was it West Valley?
West Valley and Taylorsville, yes.
Okay. Yeah, you know, this is, you said it earlier, this is a different location. It's
yes.
Very different than Salt Lake in many areas, including from a business standpoint. What was the process like of getting the permits and getting approved to be at Kimball Junction?
You know, I'm not involved really in that end of it. But I do know, I can say that we discovered at the last minute we had no gas line hooked up into the restaurant.
For cooking, that's pretty
And we were opening
right?
that following Monday, and we begged. And they came through for us. So we're eternally grateful to the gas company for helping us. Everybody's been so helpful.
Yeah. You know, Larry, my observation out there is it seems like things are a little bit looser to code than where we have in the rest of the city. It seems like it's easier to get concept, easier to get signage, but yet a lot of the signs are still pretty small, mm-hmm. which I know as for a retailer, for a restaurant, is frustrating. But it really is getting to be a little bit of a nexus out there. I think they're starting to achieve the vision that they had originally at Kimball Junction, which is to set up a second nexus for the city. That said, as somebody that lives out there, boy, Friday afternoon, it is crazy out there. You're taking your life in your own hands driving at Kimball Junction.
You know, I don't go to Kimball Junction very often to shop. So it has been a shock to me to see how quickly that parking lot has infilled with businesses, most of them food businesses like Freebird Burritos and Zupas and Five Guys and Burger and Fries. And mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a plethora of dining choices out there in the fast, convenient food category, I guess. Do you have a drive-through window? Because one thing, I love burritos. There was a chain called New York Burrito in Salt Lake that was next door to where I worked downtown once, and they were great, but you sure couldn't drive and eat a burrito
at the same time.
Especially one of ours. We wrap them in foil, and we have a special way that you unwrap them, like remember the old things that you ran the string around and the pencil lead?
Yeah,
it's kind of a similar kind of opening thing.
So it comes open one bite at a time.
One bite at a time, yes.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, thanks very much for joining us. Our guest has been Judy Derberaugh, who is the marketing director of Freebird's World Burrito, and that is at Kimball Junction. Near the Smith store and on the gas pump side of the Smith store, just open. And we welcome you to Park City.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here.
Thanks for coming.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be back to talk about the Young Entrepreneur Academy. We're back to that subject of entrepreneurship that we started with, and we will be back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Kelly from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of European and mountain contemporary home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake, and both offer complete design services. We're on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
Park City Realty Group is a proud sponsor of KPCW's Mountain Money. This is Mike Mazzoni, principal broker and owner of Park City Realty Group. 100% locally owned and operated, Park City Realty Group provides boutique real estate services to buyers and sellers in the area. 649-1991 or parkcityrealtygroup.com.
Juniper Landing is proud to support our local radio station, KPCW. Juniper Landing is a new, whole ownership townhome community located at the base of Canyons Resort, adjacent to the Waldorf Astoria Park City, with a model open daily. Our website is juniperlandingparkcity.com.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. We're going to switch gears from burritos back to entrepreneurship. We have in studio with us now Donna Milakovic, and she is the VP of Utah Valley Chamber of Commerce. And then we also have a young entrepreneur here, Lynn Stone, who's a high school student. And for today's conversation, more importantly, the founder of Fandancy. They both participated in different roles, but in the Young Entrepreneurship Academy, whose initials are YEA.
And Yay!
They go by Yay Academy. Welcome to the studio, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for having us.
So, Jennifer, I want to start off with you. So you're in high school.
Yes.
And you decide you wanted to start a company. Tell us about why you wanted to start a company and what the being in Yay Academy, how that helped.
Well, I've been working with this clay that I make these earrings out of. My company is making fan-based jewelry, earrings and stuff. And I've been doing clay since I was 10, so like 7 years. And I joined YEA, and it gave me the shove and push to be able to actually make it into a business.
So what is fan-based earrings? You're wearing earrings today,
right.
But if you could describe to our audience what that is.
I make earrings based off of shows, games, movies, books, and I sell them. So like Harry Potter, Avengers, I've made them off of all sorts of things.
Very cool. And for those that might think that teenage jewelry is not a big market, I don't know if any of you guys are fans of Shark Tank, but I was watching, they had a kids version. My kids love to watch Shark Tank, which is a show about entrepreneurs raising capital for some famous people. And there was a young lady in there, Lynn, about your age, who raised $1 million from Mark Cuban for her jewelry that she had been doing about 3 years. And this young lady was doing like $10 million a year in hip teenage jewelry. So hopefully your business will grow to that size at some point as well.
That's the hope.
So do you hand make everything, or do you have other people that help you with creating the earrings?
I am currently hand making all of them, and it's
Pretty well, you're not going to do $10 million a year.
You're going to miss a little bit of school if you do.
Well, Donna, talk a little bit about the YAY program. Who is this for? Where is it? Is it just Utah County? Is it just a school or two?
So the YEA program is actually a national-based program out of SUNY Rochester, and they've partnered with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So there are several. There are about 30 throughout the western states that are hosted by Chambers of Commerce. And this is our first year as Utah Valley Chamber of Commerce hosting the YEA program in Utah County. Salt Lake County does also have one. South Jordan Chamber ran one last year, and their semifinalists actually went and got second place. And both of the boys who made the Woof'em Sticks, which were like a roasting stick for marshmallows and things.
We had a guest in here.
Yes.
We have someone that makes
the Woof'em Sticks. Yes. So they each got $24,000 scholarships to school.
Wow.
Because of the Saunders Scholar Program. And so Lynn is our semifinalist. She'll go to Texas in May, and she'll be working towards that national finals. And if she, they got second place. If you get first place, I think it's $30,000 scholarship for school. So she can go on with her education and run her business and be an entrepreneur. And
is that really the goal? It's not necessarily to do entrepreneurialism instead of going to college, but to have some relevant experience going into college?
It is to have relevant experience and also a way to pay for college, right? So these young entrepreneurs make enough money to pay tuition on their own, working part-time for their businesses. They have a jump start on raising money for college and those kinds of things. It does definitely support education.
Now, you start with sixth graders, right?
We do, sixth through 12th grade.
And is sixth a little young to be talking to kids about starting a business and loading them up with the pressures of the business world?
The pressures of business. Well, we have a few 11-year-olds in the class. It is 30 weeks after school, and they are dedicated. There's an application process, so we do take the best of the best. We can only take 24 students per year. And so these aren't your average 11-year-olds. Most of them come in with a business they've already started. Savannah Losey started a shopping app with her partner, who's a 17-year-old developer. They met in the class, but Savannah came in. She already ran a business. She was picking up dog poop in backyards and making about $100 a month. And she said it was a stinky job and she wanted to get out of it and start a different business. And so she came up with an app called Isle Ally, and it is a navigation app. So these entrepreneurs, we also have an 11-year-old who started a YouTube video company. She released her first, their partnership, it's an 11 and 12-year-old. They released their first video in November and had over 45,000 views on YouTube.
Wow.
So they've already started making money at crazy cool movies. So I don't think that 11 is too young. They're some of our most productive students.
Larry, I was going to tell you a story, but it's dwarfed by 45,000 YouTube viewers. I know an 11-year-old who has 1,000 subscribers to her YouTube channel. And I was talking to her about, you know, how do you monetize that? And, of course, I used the wrong word. She's like, what do you mean, how do I monetize that? Like, how do you make money off of having 1,000? So it's just a hobby right now. But these are great things. So, Lynn, when you think about your business and what you want to do to take it to the next level, what are you thinking?
Well, like you said, I can't make 1 million earrings and still be sane.
Right.
And so I have two options from where I can go with that. I can either do manufacturing, right, where I make one set and you copy it. Or I can hire other people to help me out. I think right now I need to figure that out. Once I figure that out, then I can go a lot bigger.
And are you using young people compared to Larry and I are much more savvy on social media, Instagram, Pinterest, things like that. Are you using that as a way to get interest in your product?
I do. I have a blogger and all that fun stuff, Facebook, YouTube channel, where I show actually how to make some things out of clay.
Talk about that.
Oh, I actually have been going to some conferences, right? I went to this LUTE in Utah a little bit ago, Life, the Universe, and Everything, where I had a booth and I was selling my earrings. I made $500 in 2 days by selling them. It was crazy. I'm planning on going to a couple others this year, too, WesterCon and Anime Bonsai.
Nice. So, you know, that's the thing. It doesn't always have to be a full-time job, too, right? It could be something you do during college as a way to help pay the tuition and pay for some pizza along the way.
Right.
So this is still fun for you. I mean, you're having a lot of fun.
Oh, I enjoy it. I love making them and see people who they see something that they recognize and they go, oh, my goodness, I know what that's from. Talk to me. And I love getting excited with them and everyone just jumping around, and it's fun.
Very good. So when do you start the program in the school year, and is there an end point? Is there an achievable goal at the end?
Yes. So we start in September with our new cohort, and we'll start again this year. Applications are open now. We'll do interviews here in April, and then the next cohort starts in September, and it'll go through May. This class that is currently in, they have field trips. They have to legitimize their business, go out and license the business. We're talking advertising, marketing, leading up to a trade show on May 15th. And after the trade show, there's a graduation ceremony. So they will graduate from the YEA program on May 22nd. And from there, they can go out and find more private investment if they choose. They can launch their business throughout the summer, launch their websites. And so every September we begin, every May there's a graduation.
Well, they could call Kathy Rickey at the Utah Micro Enterprise Loan Fund at that point.
Yes,
they
could.
See if there's capital at that point. Our first guest.
So, Don, are there programs over the summer for kids that want to do this? I know you just said your program starts in the fall, but what about kids that are interested in this? They've got the summer off. They have a lot of time. It seems like a great opportunity to spend their summer wisely.
I can speak to Utah County. I know that UVU has a YES camp. It's a Young Entrepreneur Summer Camp, and it goes for a week. That's actually, I met a few of our young entrepreneurs at that camp as they were finishing it up. It's 8 days. It's very intensive. They do a similar presentation in front of investors or judges, and they pick the most likely to succeed business. And so there are several entrepreneur camps. I mean, Utah is a state full of entrepreneurs, and so I know that BYU has a strong entrepreneur program, UVU does. Most of our universities have some kind of summer program for kids to introduce them.
So you just mentioned your investors, your judges. You've mm-hmm. got a pretty prestigious list of judges that help out. I wanted mm-hmm. to give you a chance to kind of mention who some of these people are.
Great. Yeah, we had a great panel of judges. We had seven. They came from the businesses that were part of the program. So this program is put on through sponsorships, and TIFE, which is a nonprofit organization that helps families find independence through enterprise. TIFE has been an angel partner of ours, and they sent Aubrey Robinson, who was a business development manager, and they did a great job there. And then Security Services Federal Credit Union, which has been in the state. It's the eighth largest federal credit union around the United States. They do a lot of small business loans. And Robert Gleave was their commercial loan officer. So he was really looking at the businesses in their opportunity. And then we had a small business owner, Miles McCracken, who came from Best Shred. He was representing another one of our board members who was an investor. And he was really impressed and excited to get involved next year as well. We also had Wells Fargo Bank, Rocky Mountain University, and American West Bank was involved, and also Fidelity Investments. So a lot of our banks got involved. We didn't do a lot of small business or startup companies as investors this year. We weren't looking for Park City Angels or other big investors. We already have, from our sponsorships, we have a pot of money that gets invested into these businesses. And so these judges came to kind of allocate that money. They didn't have to invest their own money. Their institutions had already invested in the program.
Very fine. You know, I'm looking through your list. We've talked about bippity-boppity dresses. We've talked about Isle Alley. We've talked about Fan Dancy, of course, and the YouTube Enterprise's crazy cool movies. There are others equally interesting. There's Incubeta, like incubator, and just tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, Incubeta is a crowdfunding site for young entrepreneurs 15 to 25, started by a 14-year-old named Ben McGee, who has an amazing business sense. We call him the bulldog. He really is going to be successful no matter what he does. This is his third business.
At 14.
He had employees when he interviewed. He was running a business called Wonderful Windows, about painting windows for the holidays and things. And he came in and decided he wanted to help other young entrepreneurs make money. And so he started a crowdfunding site, which is kind of cutting edge right now. Crowdfunding is just on the upswing. It's just a new industry. And so he is launching a great business.
And then there's Two Chiclets.
Yes, Two Chiclets.
Which is about candy.
Yes, Two Chiclets are two sisters and a third. It's spelled T-O-O because there's three of them. And so they do candy trivia. It's a great little website.
Candy Trivia.
Yes.
How do you make money on candy trivia.
The sourest candy in the world, those kinds of things, by partnering with See's Candies and other candy companies for affiliate sales. So they're cute.
Well, we thank you for joining us. Our guests are Donna Milakovic and Lynn Stone, the high school student that started Fandancy. Lynn, I wanted to give you a chance to promote your business here. If people want to find out how to get earrings that have some of their favorite characters from movies, how do they find out more about your company?
Well, like I said, you go to these conferences that I'm going to, which will be super fun. But I'm currently working on a website. I have the domain fandancy.com, but it's not up and running yet. If you look for Yesha Stone online, I'm all over the place, YouTube channel, and yeah.
Well, there you go. Okay. We thank you guys for joining us. You're never too old and apparently never too young to start a business as well. Good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And stay tuned. Mountain Money will be back after this quick break.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longreimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Brett Stimson, Mortgage Assistant for Home Purchases, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Join KPCW every weekday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. for the latest news in town and around the world. Trusted news anchor Leslie Thatcher delivers local news as well as broadcasts of NPR News, Marketplace, and national stories. Morning Edition with Leslie Thatcher, sponsored by Promontory the Ranch Club, Nexus IT, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, and Deer Valley Resort.
Welcome back to the final minutes of Mountain Money. Doug, you missed it last week. We had the car editor of Consumer Reports.
I heard it, though. I really liked the conversation on Tesla.
Well, you know, and speaking of Tesla, I said there was a supercharging station for Tesla in Blanding or Monticello. I think it's Blanding of all places.
And I understand we have our very own supercharging station now in Park City.
Well, I drove in this morning and to the Sweet Alley Garage by KPCW, and there's a brand new electric vehicle charging
station. So you're going to be plugging in your Tesla, Larry?
Well, first I'd have to acquire a Tesla, and that's a ways off. But there is also now a second charging station. The area manager for Tesla, who for some reason is based in Georgia, got in touch with me and said there is a supercharger station now also for Teslas at the Holiday Inn Express in Richfield. And they pick these supercharging stations based on cross-country routes.
Sure.
And Richfield's on I-70 and right near I-15. So that's a logical place to put in a supercharging
station. Well, hopefully they put in some off of I-80. Which is another major east-west.
Well, that's part of selling Teslas is you have to provide fuel stations, so that's what they're doing now. So there's now two of them in Utah, and I think this is not a Tesla station here in Sweet Alley Garage, but there's a lot of other vehicles out there that can use it. So I also want to say that tomorrow in this time period, it's This Green Earth, of course, and the guests are Lisa Yoder from Summit County. She'll talk about the county's 2014 sustainability plan. And then a regular here, Brian McInerney, a local and a favorite from the National Weather Service. He'll be talking about the snowpack this winter and the forecast for climate and weather and water for the coming summer.
And Larry, just a quick update. April 15th is fast approaching. It's still March, but that's not going to be the case. Next week, we turn the calendar over to April. And April 15th, everybody knows, is about taxes. Believe it or not, Larry, there were 6,100 taxpayers in the U.S. that did not file their 2010 federal tax returns. And ironically, the IRS owes them money. In aggregate, it's $4.7 million. Importantly, though, you only have till April 15th of this year to file that 2010 tax return.
Yeah, this is in Utah. These are people who did not make enough money to even need to file a return, but they still had money withdrawn from their checks. So there are millions of dollars out there, but those returns need to be filed by April 15th. So our guest next week will be Suzanne Mettler. She's written a book a lot of people are talking about, Degrees of Inequality, How the Politics of Higher Education Sabotage the American Dream. And we'll have a spokesman for IRS on the show to talk about the coming tax season. Also want to thank our great sponsors, Park City Realty Group, Mountain West Bank, the Iron Mountain Group, the Park City Chamber, Prudential Real Estate, San Francisco Design, and joining us next week, Jones Waldo Law Firm. We'll be talking about them a little bit more next week. So thanks very much for joining us. Heading to a high of 54 today. Looks just gorgeous. Don't forget Dr. Mark Hyman tomorrow evening starting at 6:30 at the Santee. This is KPCW Park City.